On September 30th, elements within Ecuador's police force staged violent protests against government cutbacks on officers' salary and benefits. But what first appeared to be protests by disgruntled civil servants transformed into an attempted coup against President Rafael Correa. When the president went personally to meet with police at the capital city's main barracks, he was physically assaulted and tear-gassed, which prompted him to tear off his shirt and declare, "If you want to kill the president, here he is. Kill him if you want to. Kill him if you are brave enough." When police attacks on the president escalated, he and his bodyguards fled to the city hospital where he was treated for injuries. Protesting police, who had also taken over barracks and airport runways in different parts of the country, blocked the president's exit until a special forces unit of Ecuador's military launched an army attack on the rebellious police officers and freed Correa. During the attempted coup, Correa's supporters, who had gathered in the streets, were attacked by police. When freed, the president addressed thousands gathered at the presidential palace and blamed former President Lucio Gutierrez and other political opponents for orchestrating the coup attempt. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Venezuelan-American attorney Ava Golinger, author of the book The Chavez Code, and editor-in-chief of the Venezuelan English-language weekly newspaper Correo del Orinoco Internacional. Golinger discusses the role played by U.S.-funded opposition groups in Ecuador's failed coup and the connections with other efforts to overthrow democratically elected governments in Honduras and Venezuela.
What happened in Ecuador September 30th, it was a Thursday morning, there was a police rebellion taking place in the streets in reaction to the misinterpretation of a law that had been passed by the legislature the previous day. And the law was actually a restructuring of police wages and benefits, but it was distorted to appear as though it was taking away benefits. And that sort of sparked and the protest and was used to, you know, amplify a negative and violent reaction. I mean, imagine several hundred police with all their weapons out in the streets protesting and taking over installations, government installations. I mean, it was pretty scary. But what many don't know, who don't follow, you know, what's been taking place in Ecuador since, well, for many years, but particularly since Rafael Correa came to power 3 years ago, is the fact that there have been preparations underway now for several months to try to destabilize his government. And they're from different factions, political factions in the country on the far right as well as on the far left. So there have been protests over the past few months that have also been calling for his resignation before and trying to, you know, shut down the country. All these different factions use this excuse of the police reaction that was, you know, egged on to this law to then set into place the pieces that would eventually evolve into the coup. And there were, as the day progressed and the police became more violent, people began to take to the streets to defend Correa and rally around, you know, the president. The president went out there and tried to negotiate, and some say that maybe was an error, but that's who he is. And his negotiation was, you know, unsuccessful. And what ended up happening was he was sequestered. He was attacked by the police, physically assaulted, and almost killed. There are now recordings that have come out since then of the police radios, the patrol radios, at the time when the president was out there trying to negotiate that with the officers, and they were actually calling out to kill him and his cabinet members that were with him. And then several different political groups began to issue declarations and statements calling for the president's resignation and a dissolution of not just his government, but also their Congress. And, I mean, that's what a coup is.
Ava, what was the role of U.S. Ambassador to Ecuador, Heather Hodges? You've written about her involvement with some of these organizations that issued declarations really pushing the idea of a coup forward during this turmoil.
Yeah, Heather Hodges, Ambassador Hodges, is a Bush appointee from 2008. And before that, she was ambassador in Moldova, which is another country that of the former Soviet bloc that is still socialist and has a strong communist party. And they tried to provoke what's called these colored revolutions, like the ones that took place in Ukraine and Georgia and Serbia, Yugoslavia. trying to bring together internal factions. Basically, it's kind of like a soft coup d'etat where so-called civil society eventually provoke regime change, but do it through allegedly legitimate means. So, I mean, yeah, she's a Bushy and is still there. And since she's been in Ecuador, has actually increased the funding for U.S. agencies such as USAID and National Endowment for Democracy. I mean, we don't have any substantial, solid, direct evidence of like a smoking gun linking the U.S. ambassador to this particular coup. There's just a pattern of evidence that shows, you know, funding and support coming out of the U.S. embassy for political groups that oppose the government of Rafael Correa. And she's really been the ambassador in power since he's been in power. And it's also important to point out that President Correa was reelected last year in 2009 under the country's new constitution, which was ratified by popular referendum, national referendum in 2008. And he won with 55% of the vote. And polls, even before the coup took place, showed his popularity at over 70%. I mean, he's a very popular figure. And that's part of the reason why the coup didn't work.
Given this pattern of funding, U.S. and other outside funding that is being used or has been used to foment coup d'etats in Latin American nations, have Latin countries come together to try and come to some agreement where they can forestall future efforts like we saw in Ecuador and other countries before?
Well, the South American Union of Nations, UNASUR, did issue a very strong statement about what their reaction would be to a future coup if it took place in the region, and you know, imposing sanctions and closing off borders and refusing to recognize the government. But it always seems to be a dangerous time and for Latin American democracy because of the constant intervention from abroad. And I think what countries really need to do is follow the example of Bolivia and Evo Morales, who has ousted U.S. aid and other U.S. agencies that have been funding destabilization in Bolivia during his presidency. And he's expelled them. They're out because they've been busted engaging in, you know, efforts to undermine his government. And I think that that's really what, you know, nations need to do is unify around a collective policy of not permitting this kind of interference and meddling in internal affairs that undermines democracy.
That was Venezuelan-American attorney Eva Golinger, author of the book The Chavez Code and winner of Mexico's 2009 International Award for Journalism. Visit the website of the weekly newspaper she edits at correodelorinoco.gob.ve.